Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
It's Leading Edge Medicine, and we are so glad that you are here today. Our phone lines are wide open for you right now. If you've got a question, call now. Don't wait until the very end of the show. We have a phone number that's a bit different. It's 206-644-6006. That's 206-644-6006. All right, while we're waiting for that next phone call, we do have an offline question concerning pellet therapy and naturopath testosterone pellet therapy. So doctors, what is this for and what are your thoughts?
And very interesting question. And over the course of time, we have been asked about pellet therapy periodically. Yeah. And the main reason is it's convenient. You know, people don't have to mess with creams or pills or anything because they go to a provider and they get a pellet put in and subcutaneously into the skin. It is a minor surgical procedure. It doesn't take very long and you're out. But then for the next 3 months or so, you get a continuous dose of hormone into your serum and you don't have to worry about applying the cream or taking a medication overall. The downside is if they get the wrong dose and you get too much or too low, then you have to deal with the consequences of that and they can't take it out. Once it's in, it's in.
You're stuck with it for 3 months.
You're stuck until it's done. And then the other thing is, you know, it's not normal physiology, which is why we don't use it.
Yeah. I generally don't like the pellet therapies because I want to be able to raise and lower the dose on any given day depending on what's going on with the patient. So if we give them a prescription and we bring them back in 2 weeks or so and see how they're doing, we can continue or we can raise or lower it. And if they're having issues, we can even adjust their dose on the phone by having them use more or less cream.
Absolutely.
The pellets a fixed dose.
Yeah.
And the other thing I don't like about it, especially for men, is that we get the dose on, it's continuous, the same dose 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 3 months, and I can give you a 99% guarantee that your testicles are going to shrivel up and get very small and soft if you're using the testosterone pellet therapy. And that's just because your own testicles never have a chance to work. Mm-hmm. When we use our creams, we have the guys put it on in the morning, wash it off every evening. The half-life of testosterone cream, once you wash it off, in 75 minutes, half of it's out of your system. Mm. And so in 3 hours, your levels are very low, and now your own testicles have kicked in, and they're working as hard as they are capable of kicking at whatever age you are. And then the next day, we start you from wherever you are, and we raise you up with the cream again. That night, you wash it off. Your own testicles get a chance to work. As long as we are reasonably close to our appropriate dose, you're not going to have your testicles shrivel up and go away. With the shots or the pellets, I can almost guarantee the vast majority of guys are going to effectively lose the testicles.
Yeah, and for some reason, men don't like that, even though they know that it's happening naturally anyways.
Yeah, but the reality is men were born with a pair and they want to die with a pair.
That's what my men tell me.
That's right.
And so, I was born with them, I want to die with
the
them.
The urologists say, well, it doesn't matter, you're done having your children, so, you know, if they shrivel up and go away, so what? It's functionally, it's not a big deal. And functionally it isn't, but emotionally, psychologically?
Sure.
You take a man's testicles away from him, he's going to be an unhappy camper. That's just all there is to it.
Yeah.
And so I don't like the testosterone.
Pellets. Remember when testosterone replacement first started with the injectables, they used to give a bolus of a shot once a month and their levels would go sky high.
Yes.
And they would plummet. And there was men were on this emotional roller coaster, but testicular atrophy was a given.
Yes.
So.
And now with the creams, you know, you put it on in the morning, you take it off in the afternoon. If you're going through a period where your life is more stressful, you need more androgen, you just raise your dose a little bit. You know, you take an extra quarter cc or something for a few days. And then when the stressful period is gone, you let it go back down.
Yeah.
So it allows us to adjust our testosterone load depending on what our individual needs are at any given point in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that helped whoever sent the message.
Called earlier. Thank you for that on the pellets. Okay, got a couple of questions here from Pat first. Pat calling in from Bremerton. Good morning, Pat.
Hello, Pat.
Hi. Hello.
How can we help? Yes, you're on the air, ma'am.
My question was about red yeast rice and no flush niacin for cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My doctor
wants me to continue statins, but statins are not agreeing with me.
Mm-hmm.
Or he wants me to take this new shot. He was talking about, I think it was once every 6 months or the first 3 months and then every 6 months.
Okay. Okay.
Which
so
I wasn't thrilled about that.
Okay. So sounds like you have high cholesterol. And that you were trying, okay.
I think it was a total of 215. I'm not really sure what was what because he never did tell me.
And he didn't give you a copy of your lab work?
No.
Shame on him.
Uh-oh.
Okay, well, 215 doesn't sound that high.
It's not awful.
Yeah.
Well,
there must be other things going on.
Yeah, although preference.
Well, see, a year ago, last October, I had two stents put in. and he put me on.
Oh, there you go.
So they're wanting to get it down around 125.
Mm. Yeah, well, yeah,
total. Two different types of statins, and it just did not agree with me. I've told him before, statins never did agree with me. So I went with red yeast rice and niacin, and he said that would do no good, but actually it did take it down a little because he had to admit that my cholesterol did go down somewhat, but he didn't really go into detail. So what are your thoughts on that?
Red yeast rice is a natural statin. It's milder.
Right.
It doesn't give you the side effects, but it is a natural statin. And if you can get your cholesterol level low enough that it's not a risk factor for you, you can use it. We have a lot of patients that use niacin and red yeast rice, and we give them CoQ10. We measure objectively the levels, so it helps us guide onto how much to give them. And we do lifestyle modification and hormone replacement therapy, which then helps them achieve their desired LDL goal. So we have a lot of patients that have been managed conservatively without the injectable medications. But if they are wanting you to get lower, then the injectables have actually been a life-changing medication in hyperlipidemia patients. As long as insurance covers it. Now, I've been hearing some of my patients tell me that insurance is not covering it, which then makes it a very expensive proposition. But they do carry a lower side effect profile. Patients don't get the muscle aches and pains. They do lower their cholesterol levels and lower their risk factors. So it's a simple, much simpler, and you avoid the problems of the statins that you were experiencing. Is it the best? Go ahead.
So that was the injection you're talking about?
That is right. That is right.
So that it's a new one. It's pretty new. So is that, tested long enough to be... See, I get worried about being a guinea pig.
I know. And then this class of medications has been out for a bit now, and they are seeing very good outcomes with it. So, it's not anything that's brand new that'll have unknown side effects. The fact was in the past that statins were such a limiting factor because their list of side effects was so long and there were many people who couldn't use it. And these medications have actually been game changers.
And one other thing is that sometimes if you don't tolerate one statin, just switching to a different one may help.
I did. I've tried several.
Okay. Yeah. So you just may not tolerate them.
Yeah. And also he wants me to keep taking aspirin. Is that a good deal?
Well, aspirin. I mean, it is dirt cheap and it does have, and it does inhibit platelets. So
different mechanism.
Yeah, it's a very different mechanism to help prevent arterial clot.
A while back, I was taking aspirin, and I get all these little red, like on my legs, would get little red. I don't know what you want to call them. And then one doctor said, "Well, it's probably due to the aspirin bringing up the blood vessels or something."
Okay.
When
you stopped the aspirin, did it stop?
Yes, it did.
Okay, so he was probably right.
Mm. And it is the same dose, 81 milligrams?
At that time, I think I was taking a full.
Yeah. So the lower dose is what they're probably wanting you to take right now, the 81 milligrams. And like I said, it's a different mechanism of action. It prevents platelet aggregation, so therefore reduces clot formation. And the cholesterol is reducing cholesterol is a different mechanism. So two different mechanisms.
All right, so it doesn't have anything to do with the cholesterol then?
No. And then the real issue is preventing stroke risk, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're trying to do.
Oh, with the aspirin.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think I will continue the red yeast rice for a while longer and see if that's continuing to help. If not, then maybe I will take his suggestion and try that shot.
Right. Yeah.
The other option you can do, of course, is raise the dose of the red yeast rice.
I'm taking two a day now.
What's the milligrams?
What's the milligram? How big a pill?
It's a big red pill, but I'm not sure what the milligrams is.
Okay.
Okay.
The bottle, it just says take two a day.
Yeah,
and I take CoQ10.
Yeah, you should definitely take CoQ10. And, some doctors will go up to 2,400 milligrams of red yeast rice and patients do fine with it. Others will have a problem. So in our clinic, we start at 500 milligrams, go up to 1,000 and go up higher. But some people will tolerate more and some won't.
What about the no-flush niacin, or should I take the regular niacin?
Regular niacin that causes the flushing actually does a better job of improving your lipids. The no flush doesn't work very well.
All right, so the being flushed and all doesn't cause any harm then. That's just a feeling, right?
And it usually clears over time. Most people, if they start the niacin, I'd say start with a very low dose and then slowly over the course of a month or two work it up so that you don't get the bad flush. So your body adjusts as you go.
And then assuming that you're doing the lifestyle, right? No red meat, no pro-inflammatory foods.
I don't eat any meat. I'm not.
Okay.
I do eat a little salmon and cod.
That's
maybe.
Fine.
But
Which is
I don't
fine.
Eat meat, period. I'm not a meat eater. It makes me ill.
Okay. Increase your fiber intake as well. That'll also help.
Okay. And the low dose of niacin would be what?
About 500 milligrams.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I was thinking of the red yeast rice, not the niacin. Oops. I misspoke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Samara, you want to look up the niacin dose? Because I don't recall it right off the top of my head.
Yeah. Give me a second.
Okay. I'll start out with the regular niacin and at a low dose, and then increase the red yeast rice. And, I try to eat pretty good. I have my days where I have to, go with the sweets, but I don't eat a lot of sweets.
Okay.
Okay.
And I think I'm at an average weight for my. I'm at 74, and I
500. Okay, so I was right.
Yeah, and then increase slowly by 500.
Yeah, so 500 milligrams a day to start, and then 500 milligrams twice a day, and then 1,000 in the morning, and you walk it up slowly in 500 milligram increments until you get good control.
I'm 74, and I weigh about 145. So should I lose more weight?
How tall are you?
About 5'2".
Yeah.
What's the BMI?
Well, 5'2" at
145.
At 145 is too high. Yes, so she is carrying extra poundage. Yes. Tell you what, we got to take a break. And when I come back from the break, I will tell you about Dr. Mixon's jiggle test.
Oh, boy. We love this one, don't we, ladies?
Because this is the test to tell you if you need to lose weight or not.
And where. We'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine. Pat, you hang on the line, and we will get to Eric and Patty in just a few moments. Leading Edge Medicine, taking your calls at 206-644-6006. We'll be back.
Stars, a wishing star that shines for you.
Welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio today. Also, Dr. Samira Umat, and Dr. Mixon is going to explain to Pat about how to decide how much weight you do need to lose.
Well, I never really know when people ask me, how much should I weigh? What does that sound?
I don't know.
You got a boat or a car.
A jet taking off in the background.
Yes.
Okay.
Possibly.
Put your phone on mute here, dear.
For just a moment.
There you go. Super duper. All right. The problem with answering your question is some people are designed to be willows. They are tall and lean and thin, and that's the way they're made to be. Others are designed as fire plugs. They are short and squat. Okay. Some folks are broad as a barn door, and some are made with lots of muscle mass and some are not. So it's really hard to tell any given individual on the telephone how much they need to weigh, because all you can do is assume at normal height and average bone structure for a mid-European at this point in their life. So I developed years ago what I call Dr. Mixon's jiggle test, because it doesn't matter what your genome is and whether you were designed as a willow, a fire plug, or something in between. Take off all your clothes. Go stand in front of a mirror. Jump up and down. Anything that jiggles other than breasts on a man or on a woman, I'm sorry, breasts on a woman and genitals on a man should not be there. We are supposed to be firm, okay? So your breasts are allowed to bounce and jiggle. That's just fine. And if you're a guy, your genitals are allowed to bounce and jiggle. In fact, I'm sure you hope they will. But anything else that you see jiggling on that naked body that bounces up and down is not supposed to be there. Eat less, move more, get rid of the jiggle.
Okay, or you can do a BMI calculation.
Oh, yours is so boring.
The visual on the other one is just so, okay.
Okay, just do a BMI calculation. You can go online and find how to do that. It is basically a division, and you divide your weight by your height, multiply by 703 is the multiple given a conversion factor. And then if it's below 24, you're normal. 24 to 29, you are overweight. And
mine is so much more fun.
Peace. It doesn't tell you about visceral fat, but you can calculate your
Besides
BMI. It'll tell you.
I don't trust the BMI.
Yes, I agree with you, but it'll give her an idea. If she has no idea.
It gives her a wrong idea, and the jiggle test is precise. I mean, according to my BMI, I need to lose 30 pounds, where the hell would I lose 30 pounds?
Wow, I don't think you could.
And that's because I got a lot more muscle mass than I'm supposed to have.
I agree. That's why you do the in-body. That tells you about muscle mass.
Well, that's why when I get out of the shower, Banding is looking for jiggles.
Yeah. And you're just looking for the towel.
And if she sees anything jiggle, she makes sure I get rid of it.
Yes, yes. All right. Well, Pat, I hope that helps you just a bit.
Thank you very much.
Okay, she's off doing the jiggle test right now.
All right, take care, dear.
Thank you for that call, Pat. All right, we're headed to Maple Valley. We have Patty calling from Maple Valley. Good morning, Patty.
Hello, Patty.
Good morning. I've been listening to you all morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Wonderful.
Well, you've heard some rather challenging problems presented today.
Questions, yeah.
How can we help you today, young lady?
I think this is an easy one. It's just that I don't know how to answer this. My husband's left hip itches. He's got a round spot just kind of about 2 inches on his hip.
And it's red and circular?
No rash. And then about 6 inches below that itch, he said, I don't know how to explain it. It's kind of this creepy, crawly, tingly feeling. And it can come and go periodically. It can last 5 to 15 minutes, and he's been complaining about it a lot. So, I don't know.
What made you think this was an easy one?
Because I couldn't solve it, so I'm thinking you guys can.
I'd like to point out itches and tingles and creepy crawlers on the skin are kind of tough to diagnose on the radio. I can't see it. I can't touch it.
It's not the same spot. It's like he said, it'll have that kind of a round spot, he said. And then just below it, 6 inches, you know, just down a little ways from that, he gets this other feeling. And they're both at the same time. He says it can be both at the same time. It's just kind of weird.
Not necessarily. Okay. Hmm.
No.
I mean, I'll tell you what it sounds like, but I have no idea why he would have it. And that is a neurologic paresthesia, as though something is irritating a little branch of a cutaneous nerve.
Yeah, a belt or something that's compressing.
Belts or tight pants, yeah.
And he does that. He wears sweats most of the time.
Okay.
So new jeans or new belt or anything.
Yeah, because sometimes guys that cinch their belt down tight will irritate a cutaneous nerve and they'll get altered sensation down below it. But when I've got two spots, you know, one that is itchy and the other has this odd sensation, it sounds like up in the area of the itch, something is irritating a cutaneous nerve. And then that nerve then radiates down the course of the nerve and is causing these weird altered sensations. What I don't know is what's irritating the nerve. Hmm. You know.
So now he sits a lot. He's at the computer a lot. I'm getting him back to the gym. And I thought, well, maybe that'll help. But then he has diabetes. He has neuropathy.
Ah, okay.
That's
now,
the issue.
Now you're giving us the issue.
Yeah.
Okay. Paresthesias, neurologic altered sensation in diabetes is really, really common.
Yeah.
Because what happens is the microcirculation, the tiny, tiny arterioles that feed the nerves, those vessels are so skinny that red blood cells go through one cell at a time, and they're actually going through in single file. And those very fragile little vessels go bad early in diabetics. The combination of the high sugars and the high insulins damage those blood vessels. And the blood vessels are providing the nutrient to the nerves. And so the nerves start going bad. Mm-hmm. And we start getting these paresthesias, what we call them, altered sensation from the nerve. Sometimes if we can improve the microcirculation, it'll clear up. And that's things like high doses of resveratrol and or alpha-lipoic acid. Those two things tend to improve the function of the endothelium, the lining of those tiny vessels. And if that lining gets made more smooth, the blood vessels slide through quicker and smoother. And you'll sometimes get 2-3 times as much blood flow if person's on alpha-lipoic acid and resveratrol. The warning I give everybody before I mention alpha-lipoic acid is, however, the operative word there is acid. If you take alpha-lipoic acid, take it during a meal. Eat a little bit before you swallow the pills and eat some more after you swallow the pills. Because if that alpha-lipoic acid refluxes back up the esophagus, you're going to think you're having a heart attack and going to die. It really hurts. Okay. So alpha-lipoic acid, great stuff as long as you keep it down and out of the esophagus. So.
And resveratrol too. And also magnesium.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, magnesium also dilates the blood vessels and lets better blood flow.
Okay, I think he takes, I've told him to take magnesium. Could you spell that acid thing?
Alpha, A-L-P-H-A, lipoic, L-I-P-O-I-C, acid,
okay.
A-C-I-D.
Okay. Okay. Okay, I got it.
All right.
We'll try that. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your call, Patty.
Sure, have a good day.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take a quick break. It's 11:30. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We are live, and we have room for you. Lines are open at 206-644-6006. We'll be right back with Eric and his question in just a moment.
The night was clear, and the moon was yellow. And the leaves came tumbling down. I was standing on the corner when I heard my bulldog bark. He was barking at the two men who were gambling in the dark.
And welcome back, Leading Edge Medicine, today on this beautiful Saturday.
What did the dog think
of
him barking at the dogs?
Yeah.
Have I got that straight somehow?
Yeah, sometimes.
Staggerly, I don't know. Anyway.
It's like, what? What's going
on? Who is talking to the dogs?
And Dr. Jerry Mixon here in the studio. Dr. Samira Umat. And we're taking your calls, and we have room for you at 206-644-6006. Headed to Port Orchard right now. We've got Eric on the line. Hi, Eric.
Hello, Eric.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. How can we help you, sir?
I take amlodipine twice a day and 2.5 milligrams, and I'd like to quit it and take Super Beets. Is it a big deal just to go cold turkey off the amlodipine?
No, but I have doubts the Super Beets are going to do it quite as effectively as the amlodipine does. But you know,
it just seems like I'm getting too tired. I think.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, it sometimes that's the drug effect, and sometimes it's a low blood pressure effect.
Well, how high was your blood pressure before
How high does your pressure run without the amlodipine?
Amlodipine. That's all right. Yeah, it's like a 145/90.
Without the medication.
Yes.
And with the medication?
What does it drop to with the medication?
I'm about 122/80.
Okay, well, that's not too low.
No, it's really not.
Yeah.
In fact, I like to see that 80 in the 70s. All right.
Yeah.
Here's my suggestion.
How long have you been on the medication?
For about a year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now, how much of the... I mean, this is a calcium channel blocker, and... Yeah, calcium channel blockers do a pretty good job of dilating blood vessels. They have very few side effects, but some people do get fatigued on them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a
But it's better than some of the others, like the beta blockers. Fatigue is
And depression.
Hard.
Yeah. Yeah, no, men on beta blockers, about half of them get depressed.
Yeah.
So amlodipine is not a bad drug. It's not my favorite, but it's not bad. I would say drop off one pill a day first and give that for a week or so, and then go ahead and start on the Super Beets and see what your pressure is running. And then you can drop off the other, and then you can raise the dose of the Super Beets if you need to. You're going to spend a lot more money for Super Beats than you are for the blood pressure drug. I can tell you that right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are probably right.
You are. To get an adequate dose to really drop your pressure much, you're probably looking at $200 a month in Super Beats as opposed to, $5 to $12 a month for the amlodipine.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, you're putting a much bigger investment. I would be more inclined to switch to a different blood pressure drug instead, an ARB.
Yeah, there are, for blood pressure management, there are many different classes of drugs. And it's just a matter of trying something different to see whether you tolerate it better and the side effect profile is better for you.
Yeah.
They're wanting to be heart protective. Remember, blood pressure is a silent killer. Whatever you do otherwise outside of the medications can be helpful. So if you haven't done the DASH diet and something simple like that, you probably should look at that. There's a whole website and versions of the DASH diet that have come out. So optimize your lifestyle issues to help lower your blood pressure as naturally as possible. Add supplements that'll help. Anything that's a vasodilator will help. In fact, when we put our older patients on PDE5 inhibitors, even that helps lower their blood pressure. And that was not the intent. The intent is always to improve blood flow. So anything else, ARBs, calcium channel blockers, beta blockers, obviously.
ACE inhibitors.
And you don't want to be on diuretics, and those would be a later choice.
Right.
They can really bottom out your electrolytes. So, but they can be used occasionally with another class of drugs if necessary.
Yeah, and the reason I'm bringing these up, the angiotensin receptor blockers or the ACE inhibitors are two that have been shown to extend lifespan even in people without high blood pressure.
Mm.
Okay. And so the calcium channel blockers are not my favorite. They're not bad. But the ARBs and the ACE inhibitors have fewer noticeable side effects. And one of the side effects is extended lifespan.
Yeah. And amlodipine also improves memory. So, all of these.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'll take that too.
Yes. Yes. So, yes, agreed.
Go ahead and do what you want to do, but watch your pressures. They may start coming up despite it. And if you don't want to spend as much money as you're probably going to need to get that kind of dose, because it's going to take a bigger than average dose to drop your pressure that much. You might talk to your doctor about either ARBs or ACE inhibitors, those two classes of drugs.
Okay. And then which one was to help the brain?
Well, that's the one you're on.
No,
that's your amlodipine.
No, that's your amlodipine. Actually improves brain function. Yeah.
Okay.
So you're on something to protect your brain. The other two do a better job of protecting your kidneys and your whole systemic blood pressure. And like I say, can extend lifespan. So some of these drugs have drawbacks, but they also have benefits. And the trick is trading off benefits versus side effects. So.
Is the cause always weight? Because I seen my doctor, because most of my life I was normal, and then I hit 50, and that's what my doctor says. Well, you hit 50, and that's what happens. So you got to go on a blood pressure pill.
Okay, well, not necessarily.
I was like, what is the cause, doc? I would like to know the cause, but
yes,
just take a pill.
Well, okay. No, I am not in favor of this. Okay, here's where it goes. Several things are involved. One is nitric oxide levels are tending to drop with age, and that is what the super beets are for. Okay, the beets contain nitrates that will allow you to make more nitric oxide, and the nitric oxide will help dilate your blood vessels. So when you look at a 60-year-old compared to a 10-year-old, the 10-year-old, 12-year-old, early adolescent makes 12 times more nitric oxide than a 60-year-old on average. So you have reduced, you're making about 6% as much nitric oxide at 50 or 60 as you made at 12, all right? And so any drug try to raise that nitric oxide level is a good idea. But The other thing is, you know, the weight. You have about a mile of blood vessels in every pound of fat. So you got an extra 20 pounds of fat. You got 20 extra miles of blood vessels to service.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense now. Right.
So losing weight is a good way to drop blood pressure because you've got to pump up the pressure at the pump. The heart is your pump. And it's pounding that pressure out to provide enough blood flow for all that extra tissue. Okay, but that means the big vessels are getting a large charge in order to get those tiny vessels in that fat, a small charge. Mm. Lose the fat, blood pressure normally goes down.
Okay? Yeah. There you go.
And so, yes, weight has something to do with it, and then old-fashioned aging because of a decline in in nitric oxide.
And also atherosclerosis and plaque buildup.
You're laying down plaque and so on in your arteries with aging, and that means they don't dilate as well.
Yeah.
Also, the lower testosterone load with aging. Testosterone is a vasodilator that opens up our blood vessels, and as we age and our testosterone is dropping, our blood pressure tends to rise because our vessels don't dilate as easily. Mm. So there's a whole lot of stuff going on here.
Okay.
Some physiological, some lifestyle.
That's right.
Not every 50-year-old man needs to be on blood pressure lowering medications.
Right. Okay, thank you for your help today.
Yeah. But you know, Jerry, when I was at a conference a few years ago, that's what they said. You know, as men age, what they do is at 30, 40, they start noticing fatigue. They get put on a drug. Then the side effect of the drug takes them back to the provider. They get on a second drug. Mm-hmm. And then the side effect of the second drug is an issue. So they give them a third drug. And by the time that man is 60 or 70, he's already on 5 or 6 different pills.
Yes.
Like, what? Because he's just counteracting the side effect of the first one.
Got it.
Yes. Oh, boy.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope we've helped you, sir.
Yes.
Good luck to you, sir.
Yes.
All right. Taking a quick break. We have a few minutes left of our show, and Don is waiting patiently for his question for Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat in just a moment. Stay right there.
Boom, 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 boom.
Does she love me with all her heart? Should I worry when we're apart? It's a lover's question I'd like to know. Does she need me?
And welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette. I'm here with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon answering the questions, talking with you this morning, and hopefully giving you some good information, of course. Okay, we're headed to Des Moines. We have Don on the line. Hi there, Don.
Hello,
good morning.
Des Moines.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. How are you doing? Thank you for taking my call. I'm probably the last call of the day, so I feel pretty special.
There you go. Yes.
I have an appointment with Dr. Nelson per your guys' recommendation next week. Is he well versed in the senescent cell protocol offered at Longevity?
Oh, yeah. Dan has been on the air with us many times when we've talked about it. So, you know, he's not, he doesn't write those prescriptions, but he knows what we do.
Yeah.
Why?
Does he have, for lack of a better word, does he have the ability to recommend that I pursue that prior to stem cell procedure?
Well, I mean,
or would I rely on the longevity staff to make that recommendation?
Yeah, you would rely on the longevity staff to make the recommendation. Yeah, because Dan,
I'm sorry to interrupt, Doctor. No. I've received information.
And you know what, Don? You're really breaking up.
You're breaking up.
We can barely hear you.
How about now?
Oh, better. So much better.
Much better.
Yes, there you go. Now we can hear you
Now, what was your comment?
I've received conflicting information regarding that issue, so I don't really know definitively how I should pursue this because I've had senescent cell treatment the last year, and the benefits have been enormous.
Wonderful.
Good.
But my shoulder is very messed up. I've had several diagnoses. So I'm hoping stem cell rather than surgery is a viable option. And obviously I want the best outcome.
Sure.
So I'm uncertain how to proceed with respect to senescent cell protocol.
Okay. Well, I can give you a little guidance on that.
Are you one of our patients?
I am.
Yes. Okay. Yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, he's getting the senescent cell therapy.
By the way, a happy patient.
Wonderful.
All right.
We love those.
No, senescent cell therapy, the dasatinib, because the blood levels last a while and the killing effect of the senescent cells, generally what the Mayo Clinic is doing their measurements on your function about 11 days after you finish your therapy, which is about 2 weeks, basically. So I would not take a senescent cell therapy and then do a stem cell right away. I would give it at least 2 weeks to have the drugs clear my system and get my senescent cells as dead as they're going to get before I did my stem cell therapy.
Okay, good. That's good info.
Okay. And I don't believe that the dasatinib will do anything bad to the stem cells, but because I don't know for sure, I would not take the senescent cell therapy for a couple of months after I did the stem cells. Okay, the stem cells will be viable for a 2 or 3 month period at least. And if they have not done their job by 3 months, they're probably not going to do much. So, but I would wait about 3 months or so after stem cell therapy before I did a round of senescent cell therapy. And I would wait at least 2 weeks after a senescent cell therapy before I did the stem cells.
That's exactly the information I've been seeking. Thank you very much.
Right.
Would intermittent fasting prior to any procedure, would that help or
always
would that benefit the outcome?
Yeah, and thank you for asking that, because I was thinking about the 5-day fast mimicking or any intermittent fasting program. That always helps.
Yes.
What's preferable, intermittent fasting or the Prolon protocol?
Well, Prolon is a set program. Yeah. And then you continue with your own personal intermittent fasting, and I think you'll get better results. Because with Prolon, we know that this is exactly what you're supposed to do. And it is for autophagy. It stimulates autophagy, which is cellular regeneration. It removes the damaged cells. That's the purpose.
That's right. And it's, you know, you got 5 intense days with that. So this is a fast mimicking 5-day diet that kind of kickstarts that process.
Right.
So I'd say it's probably more effective than your intermittent fasting for the short-term impact you're looking for.
Yeah, and I would do that before you do the stem cell therapies.
Okay, that's outstanding. Good information. That's very helpful. I really appreciate it. You guys are outstanding.
Well, thank you, sir. Would you go home and tell my wife that?
There we go.
Already did.
All right.
There you go. That's great,
that
Don.
Great. Okay. Right, Jerry, thank you, Don. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Those are very important questions on the timing of certain. Like this past week, I actually delayed an IV therapy because of the senescent cell protocol. The patient hadn't completed that yet. And I said, well, then we need to delay the IV treatments.
Yeah.
And so doing it at the right time. And sometimes, you know, prescriptions get delayed or whatever. It takes longer. That's okay. But let us know where you're at so we can give you the right advice. But I definitely recommend for those who can do the 5-day fast mimicking program before you do senescent cell therapies or stem cell therapies.
Yep.
All right. And you can find out more about that and so many other things that we do at Longevity by simply coming in, becoming a patient.
Yes, because then you've got a doctor who's going to sit down with you for an hour at a time, whenever you need it, and chat with you about what your issues are. And we'll do the blood tests, and we can offer you therapies that the rest of the community is simply not getting.
Absolutely. And it all starts with that free health analysis appointment, which you can sign up for. So simple. You can do that right now. We have three clinics for you, longevity clinics in Linwood, Tacoma, and Kirkland. You can pick the day and the time that work best for you. Come on in. You're going to fill out some information on your health. Give us a little questionnaire. I like what Dr. Mixon says. He wants to know, and the doctors want to know, what life has done to you so far, right?
Absolutely. Because what it's done to you so far, you just make a multiple of that, and that's your future.
There you go. We don't want that. We want you living a healthy life so that you can be leaner, right?
Stronger.
Faster.
Smarter.
Sexier. Oh, I got to say that this
time.
That's
right.
And happier. Absolutely. Make your phone call today and get on the roster. It's not too late. If you've been thinking about it, you're going, oh, I don't know. Yes, you should. Make that call and ask for your free health analysis appointment. Here's that number. It's 866-86-YOUNG.
You know,
that's 866-86-YOUNG.
It's like somebody was saying that if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, why do you expect a different outcome the next time?
Yes. Absolutely. You can also go to our website, which I think you would love, lmclinic.com. You're going to get so much good information there, even helpful information signing up for the free health analysis appointment. Just push the button and you will be able to see the calendar there and pick the day and the time that works best for you. You'll also see some videos with Dr. Mixon. You can also go to our website, lmclinic.com, and that is where you can hear some of our past radio broadcasts as well. So many of you have asked, oh, wait, I missed last week. Where can I hear that? They're usually posted a couple of days after our Saturday broadcast. So go to our website, lmclinic.com. All right. Oh, and you wanted that phone number again, right? 866-86-YOUNG. You have a great rest of your week. We will all be back next week right here on Leading Edge Medicine. On behalf of Dr. Umat and Dr. Mixon, I'm Lynette. You have a great rest of your weekend. We'll see you next time.